I mentioned earlier, I think we may have as many as eight people who filed. They have an interest in trying to wrest away the Republican nomination for governor in Idaho during primary day next May. And yet, of those eight, probably only three have a snowball's chance in Hades of actually getting to the finish line. One of those is Ed Humphreys, and he joins us this morning on Magic Valley this morning on 96.1 FM and News Radio 1310 KLIX with Bill Cully. At 7:35, we're at a balmy 60 already, and we want to say to the candidate, welcome back to the program, sir.
Hey, good morning, Bill. Thanks for having me on again.
Yeah, good to talk with you. And tomorrow you're with my partner in crime, Kevin Miller. So you're visiting all the Town Square Media radio stations in a matter of 2 days.
Yeah, we're making our rounds to the state. We've been busy.
Hey, speaking of busy, 44 counties. That means, and I know some of these counties combine their events, and some of them will have two or three counties will hold the Lincoln Day dinner or breakfast or lunch together. But still, when it comes to these Lincoln Day events, and they've been spread out this year, on previous years, they're a bit more compact, obviously, earlier in the late winter and in the early spring. But you've been on the road to a lot of these things, and I'm curious to know what sort of feedback you're getting from various people, because in the beginning it was, who's Ed Humphreys? We've gotten past that point. So what do you hear now?
Well, Bill, and I was just at the Gooding County Lincoln Day dinner, and they had an excellent tri-tip that was made by the county sheriff there. And we had a great time. I had the opportunity to speak to the crowd, and the buy-in has been huge. I got to tell you, Bill, we're a lot further a month after I announced my candidacy than I thought we would be. And there's no doubt there is still a steep hill to climb for the name recognition piece. But overall, so many Idahoans I talk to, they just feel in their heart something is wrong right now. And collectively, everybody has a different way of expressing that to me. But the message is the same, that things feel out of place. This doesn't feel like the state they've come to love or know. And people are worried that we are headed down the wrong direction, and they're so hungry for bold vision right now. And I think my platform represents a bold vision. So the buy-in has been huge.
When you reference the platform, once again, for people who might want to look in depth at that, where would you send them?
EdForIdaho.com.
And again, that's FOR instead of the number four.
Either one will work, but yeah, FOR.
Okay. Yeah, we talked about I think that before, because see, one of the great things about your campaign and your age range is you actually understand this internet thing where some of we old timers don't.
Yeah, it is an advantage, but it's an advantage for more reason than just the technology piece and the ability to get your message out. The biggest advantage I think that I have is that my perspective and my understanding have not been molded by the status quo. I haven't been molded by politics as usual. And so I come in with a fresh perspective and fresh ideas. And personally, I think that's exactly what the Republican Party needs right now is we need firebrand patriots to step up and contend for our shared values.
Here's a question for you. I was telling Steve Millington yesterday, I said, oddly enough, some of the comments made during his announcement Saturday by Ammon Bundy, despite his reputation, some of them were pretty much boilerplate Republican and his criticisms of the Biden administration and big government and the like. Do you think that he's a serious candidate? Would he be a serious challenger in this race? Or do you think that by the time we get to May next year, he'll be an afterthought or won't even be involved in this?
Well, I have no doubt that he can that he has staying power. He's somebody who's stood up for what he's believed in for a long time and has stayed the course even when the going got tough. So I don't know about his longevity in the race, but it's really going to come down to your ability to connect with folks and your ability to express a vision that people can buy into and provide that vision for the Republican Party and the cause of conservatism. because, and I represent a small part of this America First movement that's happening across the country, and President Trump really breathed life into it. And so it's up to us to carry it forward. So who can say where things are going to be 11 months from now? Naturally, with any candidate or campaign, we have to consider their ability to raise money to wage an effective campaign. And Bill, I'm really proud to tell you, we've already blown through a first major milestone. We've now raised over $115,000.
Well, do you think that perhaps voters will think, all right, he's a little too extreme, though? I mean, you've never occupied a wildlife refuge, for instance, and that they'll look at you in the jacket and tie, perhaps, and say, okay, you know, this, we're going to be a little bit more comfortable voting for someone like Ed in this situation, because it's too much of a gamble to vote for someone like Ammon Bundy.
I think you're right, Bill. In this case, I think that while people are really hungry for something new and fresh and different, I don't know that they're hungry for that, right? And so that's why I wanted to step in this race to provide something unique, something different.
Well, you know, you mentioned fundraising as well. I know people have criticized people for taking out-of-state money, but there's simply no way you can run a statewide campaign unless you're taking contributions from anyone willing across the, as Rush Limbaugh used to say, across the fruited plain.
The fruited plain. Yeah, I love that. I mean, it's expensive to run a campaign, there's no doubt. Thus far, we've been able to successfully raise money from regular folks, right? And we haven't taken any money from any special interest groups or PACs or anything like that. But I think people do have to be very careful who they take money from. You know, if I any candidate who goes and takes money from Zuckerberg, for instance, I think it ought to be questioned, right? And so when it comes to outside organizations, there are some organizations that I appreciate and identify with. And I certainly wouldn't be wanting to turn away any of the America First organizations who wanted to see me win. So I think that that any candidate should be selective so that there's not even an appearance that you're beholden to some interest that doesn't line up with your values.
Yeah, and being a Republican, mainstream media is always looking over your shoulders on where the money's coming from.
Oh, yeah. Well, and this is why the media, they didn't want to make such a big story about how incredibly successful I've been at fundraising, because they have no way to attack me right now. I think that it's really surprised them. And candidly, I'm really pleased with where we're at, especially because we're so far out from primary day next year, because these are mostly middle class families. And I've been really surprised. Like, we had an event two nights ago, and two people from that gave $500. And these are middle class families. This is just like a neighborhood meeting, almost like a HOA type meeting. I mean, $500 contributions to a campaign, that's not a small contribution. That's quite sizable. But I think that is also a measure of the temperature right now. People are so spooked that we are going to, and when I say we, I mean the Republican Party, Republican elected officials, that we're going to cave into socialism and lose it all. And folks are willing to put their money where their mouth is and also go to work. So we've collected an incredible army of volunteers who want to take the fight to socialists and anti-American activists. And that's exactly what's on my heart.
We've got more coming up with Ed Humphries. Short break. We'll check the weather, hear from some of our fine sponsors as well. It's 61, looking at the wrong dial here, and it's 7:45. Bill Colley on Magic Valley this morning on 96.1 FM, News Radio 1310 KLIX, and newsradio1310.com. Ed Humphries with us for a few more minutes this morning. He is a candidate for governor in Idaho. He's a Republican. And primary day is a little under 11 months away. It is almost 7:49, and we're at 63. Just as I say 63, it jumps to 66. It's not fake news, fake weather, I guess, when that happens, right? 96.1 FM, News Radio 1310 KLIX, and NewsRadio1310.com. Bill Colley with you on Magic Valley this morning. Hey, we were talking during the break, I think at 7:30, and the subject of property tax came up as well as housing costs. You know what? I'm gonna bet a few years ago that if we were looking back in 2018 when the primary came along, we were trying to scope what would be the big issue. Number one, no one was thinking coronavirus. Nobody was really probably thinking property tax yet or housing costs. But it's amazing, you know, that all of a sudden that the playing field can change so quickly. These issues, property tax and housing costs, I think are going to become massively important to the voting public next year. What are we going to do to get the property tax situation in line?
Bill, you're spot on. It's gotten out of control, and that's one of the reasons that I started speaking to that issue right out the gate, because for my family and for a lot of our friends and people around us, everyone's seen their property taxes go through the roof, and there are families, and Bill, you have to remember, I mean, I was a financial advisor, so I managed the assets for a lot of retired clients, some of which had lived in their house for decades, and they're now being priced out of homes that they've lived in for a long time, and it's really sad. And I've heard different ideas for how to address the property tax issue, and I'm happy to speak to some of them.
Sure.
But what I want people to know is I have a creative solution to address this and a host of other tax problems that are happening. And my idea is I want, as governor, I want Idaho to have a taxpayer bill of rights. And this is important for a couple reasons. The first is a taxpayer bill of rights would require the voters to approve on their ballot any state tax increase, whether it's increased income tax or sales tax or what have you. But the other important part of the Taxpayer Bill of Rights is it addresses a political problem. I like to call it the shell game. We see the shell game play out so often in politics, and this is how it works. Each session we hear about some new tax relief or some change to property tax or something else, yet we notice that we're continuing to pay more and more regardless of all that so-called relief. And that's because it's a shell game. You have to remember, there are every single year, there's, you know, four or five elections, most of which regular folks don't even know about. This is a perfect example. I think it was about 4 weeks ago or so, there was over $160 million of supplemental levies on the ballot across the state of Idaho. $160 million. And these levies are ran on elections that typically have voter turnout in the single digits. So they're not heavily voted elections. And these activists that I so often talk about, these activists make sure all their people show up because the political operatives in the system have been able to effectively ensure that our tax dollars go to fund their favorite causes, right? Their chosen causes, and to advance their personal political agenda. So these supplemental levies come up and they frequently get voted in because nobody even knows about the election. So what the Taxpayer Bill of Rights would do is not only must the question of tax increases be put to the voters at the state level, but it would also limit the other taxing districts, of which there are more than 1,200 in the state of Idaho. It would limit when the other taxing districts could put that on the ballot, so that when you go to vote for your elected officials and they're talking to you about property tax relief, on that same ballot you get the chance to vote up or down whether or not you want to pay more taxes, or whether you think the taxing districts and the state government ought to live within their means, just like the rest of us have to.
And then, when it comes to housing costs, I suspect there's not really you know, the liberals have over the years suggested things like rent control, which only harms it benefits a particular voting bloc, but it certainly harms the people who are, for instance, people who own rental property, and they're not all wealthy people. You know, somebody with an apartment over the garage, that might be what gets them through month to month, especially if they're retired. It seems to me we're going to have a really tough nut to crack on this, especially because half the country seems to want to come here and live.
Bill, and this is another issue that's part of the property tax issue, but it's something that's very important and needs to be addressed. And again, this is why I think that we need to bring the rising generation, the firebrand patriots, into the cause, the conservative cause, because people like me can craft creative solutions and put the old, tired political bag of tricks to the side. So let's get to the root of this issue. You are spot on. There is a housing price crisis in Idaho, and I'm very sensitive to it because it, especially for a lot of generational Idahoans, a lot of folks living in, well, heck, it doesn't matter, urban, rural, it's happening everywhere. People are not able to get housing that is within their budget. So the leftists will put up these ideas like rent control. And let me be perfectly clear here. Rent control is stupid. It is. There's no better way to describe it. It is a stupid idea. Here's what we have to focus on. We got to get to the root of it. Price of anything comes down to supply and demand. And there's nothing we can do if we're going to call ourselves constitutional conservatives. There's nothing you can do on the demand side. People want to come to Idaho because we're the last foxhole for the American dream. I don't know there's no wall you can build. You can't outlaw people from coming in here. And so that the demand side, there's nothing we can do, but we can focus on the supply side. And there are two parts of supply that need to be addressed, and that's labor and materials. Let me start with the materials piece. We have abundant natural resources in this state, but because we pay our taxes, and environmental activists, which aren't even, these people are not like your Teddy Roosevelt conservationists. These people are foam from the mouth socialists. These activists, these socialist activists, they don't allow us to harvest our resources and manage our forests responsibly. They just want them to burn down every year. And there's so much material. I mean, look at the cost of lumber right now. And we have an abundance of timber in this state. We need to manage our forests wisely, and that will help bring more materials in the marketplace to drive that cost down. But the other important piece is labor. And this is why my platform, my education platform, is so powerful, because we need to create a pipeline of getting young people into the trades. We have a shortage of labor in the trades, and we need to bring more young people into the trade so that we can so they can build faster, build higher quality stuff, and alleviate some of that pressure on the demand side. And then you'll start to see prices level out, and there'll be more supply. And so that is the root cause of the problem. Any of these other political solutions like rent control or affordable housing, which is another socialist scheme we can get into another time, they're just Band-Aids. I want to get to the root of the issues, and that's what I believe I'm addressing.
Ed, I got to let you run, but before I do, what's the website again?
edforidaho.com.
Hey, we'll talk soon.
Yeah, thank you, Bill.
Have a great day, sir.
You too. Bye.
Ed Humphries joining us this morning, Republican candidate for governor of Idaho. Primary day, as we mentioned earlier, is less than 11 months away. We're at 7:58. Coming up in just a couple of minutes, we're going to be joined on the program by the most dangerous man in Idaho. That is the president of the Idaho Freedom Foundation, Wayne Hoffman. We're at 64. Bill Colley on Magic Valley this morning on 96.1 FM, News Radio 1310 KLIX, and NewsRadio1310.com.